Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and this is the second or third time I'm trying to record this video and this podcast for you because Satan's trying to mess with it, but I've just canceled all the assignments, so let's try this again. Last time, my video recorder just turned off for no reason whatsoever, so there you go. So apparently, he doesn't want you to hear this, which means it's good stuff and it's going to help you. So sorry about my voice. All right, I want to talk to you today about how to locate and stand on promises in the Bible for whatever you need, okay? We're going to talk about how to pray against storms, against wicked people, against lack, among other things. If you want a copy of the prayers in this podcast, send me an email after the show, and in the subject line, in big letters, put This Is How We Do It prayers. The name of this message is This Is How We Do It. Y'all remember a song years ago called This Is How We Do It? I can't sing, so I won't try to sing it to you. But this is something that every Christian who believes in God and believes that the Word of God is true should know how to do. God has left us provision in His Word for everything. How to do everything that we need, affect every circumstance, healing, lack, spiritual hunger. I mean, anything that you can need is in the Word of God. Every answer that you can ever need. If you will read the Word of God long enough, God will speak to you through that Word and He'll answer your question. You'll find Him when you seek Him with your whole heart. Okay. I apologize. This podcast is a day late. This has been a really busy week. I got the idea because I have a very beloved cousin who's my age who is in the path of Hurricane Harvey that's about to make landfall tonight or in the morning on the Texas Gulf Coast. And she lives 5 miles from the shoreline. So I'm very concerned for her and her loved ones down there. And I was looking for some scriptures to give her to pray about the storm and stuff, and pray over her property and everything. She has acreage down there and a house and that she inherited, and her family's all around her down there and stuff like that. So, I'm praying hard for my cousin Tammy. I love her very much, and I've been praying ever since I saw this storm developing because I saw that it was kind of pointed that way, and I just have a bad feeling about the storm. But anyway, okay, so here we go. I don't want it to turn into worst-case scenario. All right. So since Hurricane Harvey is set to make landfall so soon, let's start with how to pray about storms. This is something the Lord taught me about rebuking storms when I lived in the old house in Princeton. Y'all have heard me talk about this before if you've listened to me for very long. So let's say the storm is coming. Let's say that I live on the Gulf Coast. Let's say that I'm in Tammy's place and I live on the Gulf Coast like where she does, and I can't get out of town, or it's not practical for me to leave town because of the storm, so I've got to deal with the storm. So let's say there's a storm coming, you know it's coming your way. You're a child of God, you're going to stand on His promises for safety. So here's what the Lord had me do years ago. There was a tornadic storm system, and it was headed for Princeton. And, you know, that part of North Texas, kind of in Tornado Alley. We don't get it as bad as Kansas or some parts of, you know, the panhandle of Texas gets storms real bad. Kansas gets them horrible. I feel sorry for the people in Kansas. But Oklahoma gets them, and some North Texas gets them some too. And I didn't have cable TV back then because I'd just come through that horrible wilderness. And I just had, but I had internet, and so I was tracking the storm on the internet. So you can watch live news coverage when there's weather events and different stuff. So I was watching it that way. And I'm just sitting there at my computer, and I'm watching it going, you know, because we lived, my son and I lived in an old frame house, a real small, tiny frame house that would not have withstood something like that. It would have just gone, it would just flattened it out. So I'm watching the storm system to see, you know, what I need. And it flooded real bad, that yard too. That yard would flood real easily. And the Lord spoke to me all of a sudden, and He said, go out on your front porch and rebuke this storm system away from Princeton. I knew, because God had sent me to Princeton to do work for Him, kingdom work, I knew that I had a measure of authority in that town because of that. So I was like, okay. So I didn't really know how, you know, I'd not really rebuked a storm before. This was my first time. So I just did what he said. I walked out on the front porch and I said, "Storm system, I speak to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and I rebuke you away from Princeton. I command that you may not come to Princeton and you may not do any damage in Princeton, in Jesus' name." And I turned around and walked back in the house because I didn't know anything else to say. And I started watching the live reports again, and I will never forget. They said that the storm split and went around Princeton. And I was like, I said, "Way to go, Lord. That was really cool." You know, it's, I mean, I knew he was powerful, but when you see it like that, you're just, it's the most wonderful feeling in the world. To see the Word of God work like that is the coolest thing ever. And I was so excited about that. So I started rebuking storms all the time after that. So if I was on the Texas coast right now, and Hurricane Harvey was headed my way, or any part of it, the storm surge and all that was headed my way, this is what I'd probably pray. I would probably, if it was raining outside, which it already is in all those places down there, I would stand inside my house, probably near a window, face as close as I could to the direction the storm would be coming at me from. And I would say, "I stand in my authority as a child of God, and I speak to you now, Hurricane Harvey and storm systems, and I command that you may not bring any destruction to my house, to my property, to anything I own, to my animals, to me, to my family, or anything concerned with me. In Jesus' mighty name, I plead the precious blood of Jesus over my home, over everything I own, over myself, over all my property, all my belongings, everything concerning me, in Jesus' name." And then I would pray the same thing for anybody I loved that was in the path of that same storm or that could be affected by it. Okay, let's talk about floods. If you've listened to me for very long, you've probably heard me tell the Elk City flood story, because that was a cool thing too that God did. I think it was in 2014, I think it was late May 2014, but y'all don't hold me to that. I can't always remember everything perfectly, but it was my only grandson's high school graduation, and I don't really like to drive on the interstates anymore because I can't see as well as I used to be able to see, and that's just an aging thing, I guess, but I just don't like to drive long trips anymore. So, but I went on that one because it was real important for me to go. It was about 350 miles, wasn't that long of a trip. And went to the graduation and then went back to the hotel room. And the next morning I was going to get up and I was going to go to a little town that was on my way, kind of on my way heading back to Texas, where my sister and her husband and my nieces and stuff lived, because I wanted to spend that morning with them before I drove back home, because I don't get to see them very often, not hardly ever, actually. I can't remember if it was during my prayer time or if God spoke to me when I first woke up, but he said, "Get gone before 9 a.m., be on the road before 9 a.m., is basically what he told me. I don't remember his exact words. I did another podcast when that happened, after that happened, and I gave the exact words. But basically, he said, "Be on the road before 9 a.m. And I was like, and he made it very clear. I don't remember how he showed me, but no stopping, just straight home. I was like, oh, man. I was disappointed because I wasn't going to spend that time with my family, but I just, you know, obeying God is, it has to come before everything else. And I don't always get that right, y'all. I'm like everybody else. Sometimes God will speak something to me and it'll feel like it's not that important and I won't do it and I'll pay really bad for it later. And that time, praise God, that time I didn't disobey. That time I obeyed. So I knew there was a rain system that was, you know, kind of across the state. I knew I was going to drive through some rain on the way home. I wasn't worried about that. It's, you know, that's part of taking trips. But so I'm driving back. I did what he said. I got on the road before 9 a.m. And I called my family and told them. I could tell some people thought that I just wanted to go home and I didn't want to come see them, but that was not the case, y'all. I love my family. I love spending time with them. So I'm driving back to Princeton, and I get to the Red River. The Red River is the river that separates Texas and Oklahoma. It's the state line. And I'm crossing the Red River Bridge, and I look down, and I will never forget. I have never seen the red like that in my life. And I was raised in North Texas. And I've lived in Texas and Oklahoma almost my entire life. I have never seen the red look like that. It looked angry. It was way up near the bottom of the bridge, and I've never seen the red that high, and it was rushing like a waterfall. And I was like, Lord, don't let it sweep me off the bridge, because that's pretty close to the surface here. You know, and I was in a Camry, y'all, but yeah, anyway. I was like, okay, well, it rained somewhere. Yeah, a lot more than what I saw. So anyway, I got across the bridge, okay, got home, got back to Princeton, unloaded the car, and turned on the news. And my jaw dropped. Elk City, Oklahoma was on the local and national news. It was on the Dallas news. It was on the national news. It was all over everything because it had flooded so bad. Y'all, I have spent a lot of years in Elk City. I lived in Elk City, I don't know how many different times, at least four or five different times from the late 80s on. Actually lived in there around 81 too, with my husband when I was married. I've lived a lot of years in Elk City. I never once ever saw Elk City flood, ever. And I watched the news, and I watched how the flood happened and what towns it hit when it hit. God had kept me about 30 minutes ahead of that flood all the way home. If I had disobeyed by even 20 minutes, I might not have made it out of that town for days. It flooded really bad. And if I had made it out of town, it would have been really dangerous because all the other towns I had to drive through that were also flooded. It was terrible. And I was like, wow, Lord, that is so cool that you did that. And I was so thankful to him. I kept watching, you know, the flood news over the following days. And I was so thankful to God that he got me out ahead of that. That was shocking. My scripture for that day was Psalm 93:4. A real sweet lady who's followed JPH for years had sent me at Christmas. She had just been sweet and sent me a gift. And she sent me this beautiful tote bag. And it's a striped. I should bring it in here and show it to y'all. I'm not going to try to go with the tote bag because I've had enough trouble trying to make this video already. So, anyway, it's this beautiful tote bag. It's like in a nautical design. It has this round, beautiful embroidered patch on it that says, He's mightier than the waves, Psalm 93:4. And I thought, I didn't remember seeing that scripture before, but I had seen it. You know, I'd taken the tote bag with me, and I'd read it and thought, that's cool. And so, I'm looking around the road, and I said, Lord, I don't know about all this rain, but I do know You're mightier than the waves, and I believe that You're going to get me home safe. He is mightier than the waves. He's mightier than the waves that are going to come in with Hurricane Harvey. Because here's the thing. God can lift you above the waves. He can put you ahead of the waves. Or He can just surround you with protection in the waves like He did Noah. You know, when it was time for Noah to come out of the ark, God raised up a mighty wind and blew the water back so that he could step out on dry land. So, what I do with storms is I think about what I don't want them to bring. And that's what I rebuke. Like in tornadic storms, I rebuke the destruction because tornadoes bring destruction. And that's what I don't want them to bring. That's part of how I come up with what I pray. For ice or snowstorms, I don't have a particular scripture about ice or snow. So I just pray, Lord, Your word says that You preserve the path of Your saints. And it says, You give Your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. So I'm believing that You're going to keep me and preserve my path in this storm. But I also use wisdom in storms. Like when there's ice and snow, I don't go out driving in that. I stay home. But if I have to drive someplace, I pray all the way. Because nobody can control a vehicle on ice. Let's say that you're praying for provision. Lord, I praise You that Your word says You supply all my needs. So I know that You're going to meet my needs right now, Lord. And I need, Lord, I need X. And I thank You for supplying this need according to Your word. I know it's already done in Jesus' name. Now, if you're a tither, you can pray the promises of Malachi chapter 3. Y'all know I'm a tither. I believe in all that. Like, let me read you one of the verses and tell you how I translate that to pray. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room to receive it. And I will rebuke, verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I would turn that and I would pray, and this is the way I pray it. Lord, I praise You that because I'm a tither, Your word says You open the windows of heaven and You pour me out a blessing so big I cannot even contain the whole blessing because it's so big. Now, a blessing is different than a miracle. A miracle is a one-time deal. A blessing is ongoing. So blessings are a big deal. And I pray, and I thank you, Lord, that you rebuke the devourer for my sake. So I know that you rebuke the devourer away from my children, and I praise you for rebuking the devourer away from my finances. And I praise you that you rebuke the devourer away from my health and away from my body. In Jesus' name. And I'm just believing you to do all these things. And he does them. Okay. Let's say that you're praying for a spouse because you want to be married. I would pray, Lord, your word says that it's not good for man to be alone. And I praise you for sending me a godly spouse of your choosing so that I will not have to live life alone. And I thank you for making me into the Christian spouse my future spouse is praying for. Thank you for helping us to be all we can be. Thank you for helping me not to look for this while you're doing it and end up with the wrong person. Help us to be patient and walk in purity before you as we wait for you to bring us together in Jesus' name. For a daily prayer, I would recommend the Lord's Prayer because that's how he told the disciples to pray. You see, I think I have it pulled up. After this manner, therefore pray you. Our Father which art in heaven, this is in Matthew chapter 6, it's verses 9 through 13. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I can quote that one from memory, but I don't want to miss any words. Okay. For protection against terrorism, against plagues, etc., for yourself and for your loved ones, I recommend Psalm 91 because you're not going to find anything better to pray than Psalm 91 for that. I heard a sermon recently by Mark Biltz, and my friend Nicole in Louisiana sent me a link. Thank you for that, Nicole. And because she knows I'm always trying to get revelation on Psalm 91, and he was on this big projector thing, screen thing, was showing the Hebrew letters that make up Psalm 91 in the Hebrew. And it was really cool because he pointed out this one letter. It looks like a little spear. And so you look at that line and it's like, and he said, there's a weapon, 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 weapon. And I thought, that's cool. It's like a psalm that's full of weapons for us. And it is our weapon. That psalm is actually weaponized for our use. So, we have a weapon, we have dominion, we need to use the weapons he's given us, okay? We don't need to pray for him to protect us, he gave us something to protect ourselves. That's what I'm telling you, okay? Let me tell you how I would pray. Let's say that I'm going to pray Psalm 91 over my son, which I do. Lord, I praise you for delivering Rick from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I praise you for covering him with your feathers. And I praise you that under your wings he can trust. Your truth is his shield and his buckler. He will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 may fall at his side and 10,000 at his right hand, but it will not come near him. Only with his eyes will he behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because he has made you his refuge, even the Most High, his habitation. There shall no evil befall him, neither shall any plague come near his dwelling. For you give your angels charge over Rick to keep him in all his ways. That's an example of how I might pray that over my son. And I also prayed over myself. I prayed over other people I love at different times. Okay. Let's say you want to pray a prayer over wicked people who are attacking you, like Jezebel people, that sort of thing. Let's say there's a Jezebel in your family or something that wants to do you harm or is just driving you crazy because that's what they do. How could you pray? I'd pray maybe something like this. Lord, thank you that your favor surrounds me like a shield. I thank you that you are a wall of fire round about me. Zechariah 2:5 says that. I praise you, Lord, that you have given your angels charge over me, and they do keep me in all my ways. So I know I have not one but multiple angels surrounding me and protecting me right now. Thank you for hiding me from the strife of tongues. Let your enemies be scattered, Lord. Let those who hate you flee. I praise you, Lord God, that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against me I shall condemn. I thank you, Lord, for turning everything the devil means for harm in this situation to my good, like you did for Joseph, for Daniel, and for many others in your holy word. I know you are for me and not against me. Help me to serve you better in Jesus' name. Okay, what about protection over your animals? For those of us who love animals, this is a big deal. This is how I pray. Lord, I praise you that your word says, if I obey you, you bless my flocks and herds. So my animals are blessed and they are increased. Thank you, Lord, for caring not only about me, but about all that concerns me. Your word says, even the very hairs of my head are numbered. So you are a God who cares about his people. You are a God who cares about the details. I know you care about me and you want my flocks to be healthy and strong. And I praise you for blessing and protecting and healing all my animals right now. I ask for a hedge of protection around them right now in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Lord, for your mighty protection over them. No God is able to protect like you can. And I know it's done, Lord. I want to talk to y'all about one more thing. Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death. I didn't really understand what the shadow of death was, and I researched it. And the shadow of death is like, let's say that you're in a sick bed, you have cancer, and you know that death is approaching. The shadow of death is when death is kind of standing over you. And I've had the spirit of death stand over me before, not from cancer, but in another situation. It's a pretty gloomy feeling, pretty spooky. The valley of the shadow of death, and I'm talking about this because this is something that we'll go through, y'all, in times to come. A valley is a place with walls around it. So if you're in the valley of the shadow of death, I would think that the shadow of death would be up here and the valley would be here and you'd be down here walking through that and it's all up on both sides. But Psalm 23 says that we won't fear when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So that's another good psalm to pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is one of the things I pray about provision and have prayed for years. He is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. Why? Because he guides and I follow. So if he guides you and you follow when he guides, even when you don't want to go, then he's your shepherd too, and you can claim that psalm. You can claim verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want also means lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I can look at my checkbook and go, okay, there ain't half enough in there for what I need, and I can say that over it, and it'll all come out. Because he rebukes the devourer, because I'm a tither, and because he's my shepherd, so I'm not going to lack. See, these promises, you keep building on this, and you keep praying this way, and pretty soon, y'all, I'm telling you, nothing can stand against you unless it's a circumstance that God has allowed in your life for a purpose for his kingdom. That's the only ones that can stand. The rest of them are going down. I'm telling you, when you pray like this, they are going down. And for things like Hurricane Harvey, when I see stuff like that on TV, I'll pray automatically for the people that are in the pathway of something like that. Because for one thing, there's going to be a lot of lost souls. There's going to be a lot of people that just don't know the Lord yet. So they don't know how to pray for themselves. But there's also going to be helpless people, little elderly people. There's going to be animals that are helpless. There's going to be people that are too sick to travel and get out of the way of the storm. People that are just too poor and they can't leave. Or there's some other reason why it's not practical for them to leave. We need to pray for them. And if you will pray for the people you don't know when they are in danger, then when you are in danger, God will have somebody pray for you. Okay? Prayers are seeds. You're praying the word of God. The word of God is a seed. Remember the parable of the sower? The sower sows the word. If you will pray for other people you don't know, God will have people pray for you. But if you won't take the time to pray for somebody else, don't be asking him to raise up an intercessor to pray for you. Okay? Let's be fair here. Rules are the same for everybody. Y'all know that. I always say that. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. I hope that it helps you. If you want those prayers, send me an email and put "this is how we do it" prayers in the subject line, and I'll send it off to you. It's a PDF file. Okay? That's all I have for y'all today. I hope that y'all have a really blessed weekend, and I hope that you stay safe, especially if you're in the path of Hurricane Harvey right now.